I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, good friend of the show, Brian Windhorst. As we are a day away from the NBA draft, 3 o'clock tomorrow, and there are some interesting names. This time of year is always more about the rumors than it is about the actual deals that go down. It's always about the ones that were talked about but might not have happened, or things that are harbingers for things we might see in the offseason, Brian. So thanks for joining us. And I guess that's where I'll begin. Is Kyle Lowry the biggest name you think that could be moved, or is there maybe a name we're not talking about that we should keep our eye on?
Not that I've heard. I think right now the Toronto Raptors pretty much control the market, control the trade deadline, because not only do they have Kyle Lowry, but they also have Norman Powell, who's a very high-value rental player. He's having the best year of his career. He's averaging 20 points a game. He's shooting 45% on threes. And, you know, he's a wing player who defends. I mean, those are the most difficult players to acquire a lot of times. So it'd be one thing if they just had Powell. They have Powell and Lowry. So my guess is that, you know, for a certain segment of the people involved in this deadline, you know, they're going to control it. And nobody will move until they move for a certain group of the teams. And then after that, it'll be the Orlando Magic, who, again, are looking at maybe trading two starter players, sub-all-stars, in Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier, but players that teams that are competing, you know, those are starter-level players. So I think we'll see a handful of those starter-level players go. The other guy that I'm watching that's interesting, not necessarily for this season, but longer term, is Lonzo Ball. I think those three situations are the ones we're going to end up talking about a lot tomorrow.
Now, is Lonzo Ball and Lowry in contention for the same team, saying that, okay, if one can't get Lonzo, that they'll prefer Lowry, or is it vice versa? Are they pretty much contending for the same teams?
No, Bart, because the teams interested in Lowry are Miami and Philly. Those are teams trying to win the championship this year or next, trading for a 35-year-old player. In fact, Kyle's birthday is tomorrow. He's probably going to get traded on his birthday. You know, with Lonzo, you're trading him to make him your franchise point guard. Or maybe you can play him next to a point guard off the ball, but you're a franchise-level player, because you're going to sign him to a pretty significant extension this summer. That's why you would trade for him, because you wouldn't do it in the summer. So the teams that are interested in Lonzo, it's a different collection of teams.
Could I ask you if you've heard anything about the Knicks being a team involved in Lonzo Ball? I think he'd be a great fit with that group, just personality-wise, and also that they're so desperately need a playmaker at point. They have guys who are scored. The Derrick Rose can score. Emmanuel Quickley's proving he can score. But neither one really is an organizer, is a playmaker. And he's not being used as such right now with Stan Van Gundy, but we know that he has that in his skill set. So do you see a connection there at all between the two?
I have indeed heard that the Knicks are one of the teams interested. The Knicks have an interesting toolbox in this market, because they have extra picks, two firsts in this draft, and the Detroit Pistons second, which is going to be in the top three or four of the second round, which is that's a valued spot in the NBA, because you don't have to pay the first round guarantee, and it's almost the same spot. And that's a valuable pick. Plus, they have salary cap space, which means they could make a lopsided trade. They can take more money off your plate than you're sending out, which some teams find interesting, and the Pelicans are one of those teams. Whether or not they can win a talent bidding war, like, I don't think the players that the Knicks would be willing to trade, I think that the Pelicans can do better elsewhere. But if getting rid of money is a priority for the Pelicans, and I do think that's on their menu, if they could take another salary back along with Lonzo with that cap space, I think then you could get something interesting. But again, I've heard 5-6 teams making an offer for Lonzo Ball. I don't know where the Knicks would rank in that list.
Are the Knicks and the Nets, are the Lakers and the Nets just in the buyout market? They're going to wait this thing out? They're not going to make any moves?
No, they're both trying to make trades. How realistic it is, I don't know. The Lakers have been dangling Kentavious Caldwell-Pope out there. you know, one of the things that happens in the buyout market, this is a lesson that we learn every year, certain people make assumptions in the buyout market, and then something happens in the trade market that changes everything, and the buyout market changes. So it's very dangerous to make assumptions on the buyout market. So let me give you an example. The Miami Heat are in negotiations to get Kyle Lowry. I don't know if they will get him or not, but if they're going to trade for a guy like Kyle Lowry who makes $30 million, it's going to take three or four players going out from Miami to get Kyle Lowry back. That means that if that trade happens, they will have potentially two or three extra roster spots that they don't have today. Well, now all of a sudden, if the Miami Heat have Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo in two roster spots, that changes the game on things. All of a sudden, maybe Andre Drummond, who was looking at the Lakers, might start looking at the Miami Heat. Maybe LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond can go there. So I don't know if any of that will happen. I'm just saying that you got to be careful assuming the buyout market. So I think both the Lakers and Nets have tried to investigate anything that they can do in the trade market to not just assume that they're going to be able to get another player in buyout. The Nets have been offering Spencer Dinwiddie around, even though he's out for the year. A lot of people like him, see him as a valued player, and would want to re-sign him. He only partially tore the Achilles or the ACL. He didn't have a full tear, which means his recovery in theory should be stronger. So I think there's a decent chance they could trade him to get a quality player, and they're one of the teams that's interested in Norman Powell. So again, I think there's a half a dozen teams that have interest in Norman Powell, and I don't know where the Nets rank in terms of their offer compared to the others, but, you know, they're in the game there for sure.
Brian Windhorst joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Bart Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. NBA trade deadline is tomorrow, and as usual, the rumors are hot and heavy, and that's an interesting one, too, with Norman Powell. You're right. What he provides is something that every team always seems to need at 3-and-D, and he's having a great year this year. Good timing for him, too. Of other names that we're talking about, I've seen Victor Oladipo's name remains out there. Could he be traded twice in the same season?
I think he will be traded twice in the same season. There's two questions. One question is, does the team that trades for him, do they see him as a guy that they're renting for the rest of the season? Or because he's on the last year of his contract, or do they see him as a guy that they want to extend his contract and re-sign, see him as a long-term fit? That will affect what their offer is, and that's what Houston has had difficulty, getting a trade that they like there. But I do believe they will trade him, and so it sort of comes down to, does the team who trades for him also think Victor wants to stay? So let me give you an example. The Detroit Pistons are a team that has interest in Victor Oladipo. I don't know if Victor Oladipo would like to stay in Detroit after this season. They're in the middle of a rebuild. Detroit also owes a first-round pick to Houston. It's heavily protected. We just saw the Rockets do a deal last week where they had the pick of a team, the Milwaukee Bucks, and they maneuvered that pick a little bit that was part of the P.J. Tucker trade. It's theoretically possible, not theoretically, I know that the two sides have talked, Detroit and Houston have talked about, could they manipulate the protection on that trade and on that draft pick as part of a deal for Victor Oladipo. But Oladipo has to decide whether that's a place he wants to go. So whether that's a trade or he ends up going to someplace else that uses him as a pure rental, because obviously Detroit is not making the playoffs this year. They're not trading for Victor Oladipo to win two or three extra games. So we'll see. I think Chicago is also an interesting team for Victor Oladipo. They are a team that would be interested possibly in a true rental. They want to make the playoffs. Then there's, sort of the usual suspects who've been mentioned with Oladipo, teams like Miami, New York. He'll get moved. We'll see. I'll be very interested to see what they get for him.
Now, I have a question because this, and listen, please excuse my lack of basketball acumen, but I just have my own favorite players, right? And one of my favorite players in all of basketball, and has been for probably about 3 years, is Eric Gordon. And everybody, you know, he's 32 years old, and I don't think that he's part of the future in Houston, but I think he provides the same thing that Lowry provides. I mean, he's a great ball handler. He's tough as nails. He's strong. He's good defensively. Could we possibly see Eric Gordon out there and trade it somewhere?
That's okay, Bart. I don't understand the cover two defense. You would run circles around me on that. So don't worry about that. You know, I think the Rockets would be interested in trading him. The thing is, he's got a lot of money on his contract. He just signed an extension last year, and there's a lot there, and he's been injury prone. And that's, even though he is younger than Kyle Lowry, you're right. I think the idea of taking on that kind of salary is worrisome. Because if you look at the contending teams out there, they have a lot of money on their books, the Lakers, the Clippers, you know, even the Heat. If the Heat give Jimmy Butler an extension, which is something that's going to be an option this summer, you know, that's a lot of money that you have tied up in him and Bam Adebayo and their other guys. Philadelphia has three max players on their roster. One of the reasons Kyle Lowry is attractive is that his contract is at the end, and if you re-sign him, you could potentially re-sign him for less money than he's making now.
Brian, let's away from the trade deadline and the trade talk and talk about teams and where they are right now. I'm curious about your thoughts regarding LeBron's latest injury, the Lakers' latest injury involving LeBron. They haven't won a game now. They've lost three in a row, seven and nine since the Anthony Davis injury as well. So they're playing without their two stars, and we know how tough the West is, and they're in the midst of what's going to be a tough schedule for them coming up. I mean, it is obviously possible that they could end up in the 7-10 play-in for all we know if LeBron remains out as long as he is. What's the level of concern in L.A. about missing their two stars and how it could impact how much work it's going to take them then to not only make the playoffs at the end of the season, make sure they do, but also then make a run to try to repeat?
Yeah, you know, last night they played in New Orleans, and they shot 48% on three-pointers. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would guess the teams that shoot 48% on threes have about a 900 win percentage.
Usually win, yeah.
in a single game. And not only did they lose, they lost by 17. And again, it's not an indictment on them as an organization. They're missing two first-team level All-NBA players. So anybody's going to sink after that. If they're healthy, I don't think it's a big deal that they have to do in the play-in, because I think they'll be just fine. I think they'll be a serious threat no matter what. I would argue that health is most important to them than it is than seeding. But where things get nasty is what ends up happening to the West playoff bracket if they do slide far enough back. If LeBron does miss a month, which is definitely on the board, he's never had this injury before, so it's very hard to know how he's going to recover. Maybe he's out 3 weeks. Maybe he's out, you know, a month. I don't know. And Anthony Davis is starting to do a little bit of on-court work, but he hasn't been cleared to even begin a ramp-up yet. So he's at least 10, 15 days away. So you're looking at a potential free fall. The difference between the 6th seed and the 7th seed is going to be everything. The race in the Western Conference could be for the 6th seed. And the reason that's important is because the 6th seed doesn't play in the play-in tournament. Mm-hmm. And if the Lakers have to go into the play-in and end up with the 7 or 8, you could see a Laker-Clipper first-round series, a Laker-Jazz first-round series. And the team that gets in the 6th seed could potentially – now, right now, you know, the Clippers are in the 3, so I don't know. I mean, maybe it will be the Clippers, but you know, it could be – and not that the Suns are a pushover, but I know that I would rather play the Suns if I was a team like Dallas or San Antonio or Golden State. Those teams are all sniffing the opportunity to maybe dodge the Lakers, Clippers, and Jazz on their side of the bracket. So that's where I think we get the intrigue, is how the West playoffs overall shape up.
Yeah, that would be something for the first round. I guess we'd all wouldn't mind that, but still, if you're the Lakers, you want to try to avoid it. But, of course, you just want to get your guys healthy, like you said. All right, so then on the East Coast, the Brooklyn Nets, where they are right now, two questions for you. First, Kevin Durant hasn't played in a while. Now, they've been fine without him, but when do we start to wonder, like, how concerning is this injury? Or are they just putting him in bubble wrap, knowing that they really only need him once we get to May?
Well, you know, I think the concerning thing is that he was ramping up to play, and then he had another MRI, and they shut him down for what appears to be like 3 or 4 more weeks. And so that's a little bit concerning. But I'm not really worried about Durant's ability to mesh, because he has shown throughout his career he's an incredible – when he comes back from significant injury, which unfortunately to him has happened a couple of times, he's able to bounce right back into rhythm, which is, you know, partially because he is, you know, he's in terrific shape. He's, you know, he doesn't, his wind is never really an issue, and his game is timeless. I mean, Kevin Durant would theoretically be able to get buckets when he's 55 years old in the NBA, because the guy will not be defendable then. So I'm not worried about him. I'm more worried about Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie keeps coming in and out of the fold. And, you know, the Kyrie, you know, is difficult of a – sometimes it can be to manage Kyrie. His value in the postseason can be – it's not always. Ask the Boston Celtics about that. Can be invaluable. And the balance between Harden and Kyrie is more fragile than the balance in everything else. If Durant's healthy come May, I think the Nets are going to be extraordinarily formidable. And I think that's why that's their priority, to go slow with him.
And on the Nets, Charles Barkley believes that James Harden is the MVP guy, is a leading candidate for MVP right now. That he also said he thinks he's the best player in the world right now. The way Harden's playing with Brooklyn is definitely noticeable. It definitely stands out. Do you agree with that, considering all the injuries we're seeing now in the league? Do you think Harden would be the guy, would be your vote right now?
The MVP vote this year is going to be there's going to be a lot of different factions of people arguing their side. It's going to get messy and emotional, because it's kind of a mess right now. There's a lot of different factors that are going into it. I believe Harden is playing tremendously. I've been extraordinarily impressed with his ability to mesh with his new teammates and to fall in and deliver at the highest level and fight through injuries. And you know, last night's win, Harden, you know, barely got out on the court and then led them to victory. It was a tremendous experience, a performance from an MVP level player. I think it's unfair to call him the best player in the world, because, you know, fair or not, he has just not proven it in the postseason. And I know that he's had some excellent postseason games, but in general, he has been a disappointing player in the postseason in his career. And so to compare him to some of the guys who are out there in that conversation, whose fingers are full of rings and other honors, I think it's a hard thing to sell, but he will have an opportunity this year to change that conversation.
Wendy, appreciate you as always, man. Thank you.
Have a good day, guys.
And the cover, too. All right. All you do it. No, I'm just playing.
That was Brian Windhorst giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. A lot of stuff there that he delivered, as he always does, on the deadline and possible moves and different things. And the one thing he did confirm, he did hear the Knicks are, from what he understands, the Knicks have definitely looked in on Lonzo Ball. I think it would be a great fit there. Let's take a call. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We go to Nick in New Orleans with a Pelicans trade proposal. What do you got, Nick? Nick, we lost Nick? That's a shame.
Tricky Nicky.
We had to reset that. My bad. Well, you know what? We have Matt in Jersey who wants to talk some football. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you.
Likewise.
Look, if you're a Jets fan, as you guys are, you know, the debate on Sam versus Zach gets hostile, and it's real. And I think we're asking the wrong question. Like, it's not like who's better, you know, Sam or Zach. I think the real question we need to ask ourselves, given the lackluster success rate of first round drafted quarterbacks in this league, is, are the Jets set up today to develop a rookie quarterback? And whether it's Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, and so forgetting like who's better, I think the question we need to ask is just what I said, you know, are the Jets set up to develop a quarterback? And I'm definitely concerned about that. And I think, you know, I fall into the camp, and I think Bart touched on it earlier today on KJZ, you know, the Indy example, that, moving, you know, back. I think they need to develop the roster.
Yeah, but it's still some moves. Remember, the Jets still have not spent a lot of money, and it's still some secondary. It's going to be a secondary market as well. And, you know, when you look at some drafts, you know, they have them taking Zach Wilson and moving back. Some people have them saying, you know what, I'm not going to get fancy with it. I'm going to take the best player available. It's Penei Sewell, right? And if you get him, then case over. Like, he's going to help your run game, he's going to protect your quarterback, and he's going to give you, arguably, in the next 3 years, you can say, I have the best set of offensive tackles in the game, right? And you can, and that can be a real thing. And every team that has been successful, that has won on a consistent basis, has had two good outside tackles. And all you have to look is no farther than Cleveland and what Baker Mayfield looked like once they went out and brought in the rookie from Alabama, and they made the trade for Conklin in Tennessee, and just the difference in his productivity and his confidence because he was secure and he had time to process information.
Matt, what do you think, though? Do you feel like that they should just stick with Sam?
No, I think my answer to that question, Alan, is just because you stick with Sam does not mean you think that Sam is a long-term answer. You don't have to find your quarterback today. I think that there's an option, and a lot of smart analysts are saying that maybe Sam can turn it around. There's an option that happens, but there's also an option that actually, you know, past predicts the future and he's not going to be the guy. But that doesn't mean that sticking with him today means that you're signing up to 10 years of Sam. It simply means you're picking up value, you're building out your roster. And if he's not the guy, then guess what? Next year he's gone. You have a ton of assets. You go out there and find a quarterback to play on a significantly improved roster. I think, you know, kick the can. I mean, it sounds like lazy and it sounds, maybe like they're not being smart. I think they are being smart by kicking the can. And that's the direction I think they should go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Matt, I completely agree with you. It's a good way to put it too. And I just think there's this feeling, this impulse of, oh, there's five quarterbacks that are going to the top 15, and you don't want to miss out on the guy that's going to be the next star. And well, you did. You did because you didn't get the number one pick. At number two, it makes that decision that much easier. Thanks for the call, Matt. We appreciate it. And the thoughts there as well. But you've been saying it all along. You've been saying it all along. We shall see. Now, again, Zach Wilson has his pro day on tomorrow. Or tomorrow. No. What day is today? I've lost track.
Today's Wednesday.
His pro day is Friday. His pro day is Friday at BYU. So we'll see. Like, does he do something just incredible that everybody's like, what could you possibly do at a pro day? That's not going to be like, nope, that's it. He's the guy. You know, like, honestly, what could he possibly do at a pro day that suddenly makes you convinced that's the guy you got to take at number two?
I want to see him throw the ball like a boomerang and make it come back on the other side of the field. That's the only thing he can do to me. Other than that, this has been a dress rehearsal that you've been working on for a month and a half. You should be able to complete that. You've done it 15 times. You know exactly where you're going to be. I tell you what, this is what I want to see. I want to see him complete them passes with me lined up as the office linebacker and give him five Mississippis and I get to chase his ass. And let's see him avoid me and hit receivers without missing a beat.
Talk about being under pressure. No doubt about it. Coming up, we have audio files. Ooh. We got a bunch of different things. I don't know which one to tease, though. It's a lot of good stuff here. We got to figure out. This is like true story. I don't know yet what we're going to play for you. We have a whole bunch of stuff in the library. I'm going to pick some stuff, but whatever it is, it's good. In fact, whatever falls on the cutting room floor, that's going to be good too, and you won't even know what it's about. So that's why you got to stay tuned. Audio files coming up next. But first, Bart has
Yes, I do. Because I saw the text, you know what I'm saying? Just like my pastor used to say. Take it out of your pocket. Take the money out of your pocket. Throw it in the air. Whatever land stays in the air belongs to Jesus. Whatever hits the floor belongs to me. And I tell you what belongs to me right now is this weekend's UFC 260 is sure to can't miss event. Every punch, every kick, and knockout means so much more with DraftKings lineup. On the line, DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a chance at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes if you haven't tried it yet. Fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stand underneath the salary cap, and pile up the points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball, hockey. DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the week. DraftKings is a safe, secure, reliable place to bet your money. So you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. You don't have to take it out. Wait till your girlfriend ain't around you. Take your money out so she won't have to ask for none. You ain't got to buy her no purse. Download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code BART and get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code BART to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. Back after this. Audio files.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Bart, you awake?
I'm ready, baby.
You had your head down. I was a little nervous. Thought I might have lost you.
I was feeling that beat, son.
You're bringing so much heat. You're bringing so much heat in this show. I'm just waiting for you just to be like, you're just going to pass out any moment now.
Listen, you want to keep a brother up? It's like Weekend at Bernie's, man. You get something with a bass line, that's like the drum. You know what I'm saying? That's how I hurt. Like Shaka Zulu. I'm like Shaka Zulu up in this thing. I hear that boom, 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 boom. I can't die with a beat.
All right. Well, it's time for us to stop talking and let the headline makers do the talking for us, and we'll react to it in a segment we like to call Audio Files. Bart, when we talk, you're a guy that loves some defense, right?
Love me some defense, baby.
You know defense.
Real men play defense. Real men play defense, baby.
Okay. And you're a Michigan guy, right?
Oh, yeah, from the Mitt.
So you must love other guys, people from Michigan who play defense, right?
Love that grit.
Draymond Green.
Oh, yeah, he play that defense, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, he does.
Little baby Sparty.
Yeah, well, how well does he play defense? What does he think about his ability to play defense compared to those in the history of the game? This is Draymond on Dubs Talk, a podcast from NBC Sports Bay Area, talking about where he thinks he ranks all time among the best defensive players in the league.
I think I'm the best defender to ever play this game in the NBA.
Do you?
Man,
cut that right now. You can cut that right now.
What?
Honest. Listen, you can lie to a lot of people. You can't lie to yourself. If you don't learn how to lie to yourself, damn, Draymond. And we're from Michigan together, man. So, listen, we share common friends. But you lost your smile bright damn mind. Man, what the hell are you talking about? Is he still high from the smile bright getting his braces fixed or something, man? Did they give him the sauce? Because he got to be high. Because, I mean, come on. Even within that city alone, man, in that region, the Midwest, he got to know better than that. Come on, man. Who? He might not even be better than McTeam Cleese on ball defense. He might not, I'm talking about it straight. That. Well, okay, he might not be better than Eric Snow, right? We want to start talking about Spartans. He might not even be better than Eric Snow in defense. Eric Snow had the clowns better. But come still, on, do I even need to talk about
Michigan,
the worm?
How about Ben Wallace?
Ben Wallace, the worm, John Sally. I could keep going on and on, man. Joe Dumars. Come on. Who used to put the clamps? Well, not the clamps. Slow down, MJ. Joe D. That's who. Come on, man. That's so disrespectful. You can't even make it out of your own damn city. How the hell are you going to be the king of the world, Draymond? Draymond out there with E-40 smoking that real stuff, man. That's what he out there doing. He better stay away from that lean. Stay away from that lean. Stay away from that ooh-wee. Draymond, I don't care if it's legal or not. I don't care if you got glaucoma or not. Stop smoking it, man. Don't smoke it before an interview. Tell you that much. You say stupid stuff like that, people gonna start thinking you can't get right. Something wrong with your head or something. Or
that's what happens in podcasts, though. When you sit in like these cozy, comfortable areas and you forget like we're recording this.
They probably gave some edibles. That's why they're losing them up.
In the Bay Area. I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Come on, son.
Bill Russell.
Come on, son.
You mentioned the worm, Dennis Rodman.
Who else?
Scottie Pippen.
Tony David Allen.
The Admiral. You've got, wait. Who's got a commercial? No.
Exactly.
Not today.
Bro, you can start defense just Dikembe with Georgetown alone. Alonzo Mourning. You can start Bruce Bowen.
Alonzo Mourning. Patrick Ewing.
Come on, man. Bruce Bowen. You can go right
Tony there. Allen went after him on Twitter about it. It's like, Bruce Bowen, they have a rule named after him.
The Bruce Bowen rules. That's what it reads in there, too. The Bruce Bowen. The Sir Bowtie. The Soul Brother Noomsie rule.
Yeah, that got a lot of people's attention, and Draymond doesn't care. He sticks with it, and that's fine. But that was a take, one of those. And so where does he rank all time? Is he number one?
Okay, how did he back it up?
I can't see him number one. Is he in the conversation?
How did he back it up just yesterday? How did he back it up just yesterday? He said he was the top defense guy. He got that work from everybody. He was like a turnstile. Everybody got a shot at it. You get a bucket. You get a bucket.
Barton Hahn, audio files. As we move on, we stay. I'd love to see Charles, and he will hear what Charles Barkley has to say about that claim by Draymond. But instead, Barkley had a claim of his own on Greeny earlier today about who he thinks is not just the MVP candidate, but the best player in the world.
I know I'm gonna probably get criticized for saying this. This guy might be the best basketball player in the world. I mean, he might be the best player in the world. I've always thought he was the best offensive player. He wasn't as great as Michael and Kobe. But I said a few years ago, and people laughed at me, he's the best offensive player I've ever seen. Mm. But right now, no disrespect to LeBron or Giannis or anybody, James Harden might be the best basketball player in the world, period.
See, we made you wait for it. You're like, who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? James Harden, according to Charles Barkley, may be the best player in the world. A world that includes LeBron James and Kevin Durant, who are still alive and playing, even though they're both injured right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's
the best. Now I think he means current, because obviously the best player in the world is Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But he means current best player in the world right now as we speak. He believes it's James Harden, averaging 25 a game, almost 12 assists a game, and 9 rebounds a game in his 30 games with the Nets so far this season, shooting 47%, 36 from three, and he has been fantastic with the Nets.
But
best player in the world, best player in the league, MVP?
Arguably, I think he may win the MVP, but he may not even be the best player on his team. That's been an argument for years. Who is better, James Harden or Kevin Durant, as they fight for that number two best player in the world opposite of LeBron James? But I say, Nikola might say, you know what? I got something to say about that, because guess what I'm doing?
Jokic.
I'm averaging 27. I'm averaging 8 assists. I'm shooting 42% from three. And guess what? From the field, 57%, baby. So listen, he might make the argument that he's the best player in the world right now. And James Harden has ran up against this before. Because James Harden, you can make an argument, could have 5 MVPs right now. But he ran into Steph a couple of years, right? And it was close, but because Steph was winning championships, he was like the favorite prodigal son. Right now, I think all the momentum is leaning towards James Harden. But this ain't even the best year of his career, in my opinion. I think he's playing better because he has to do less, and he's showing other facets of his game. But I can say
that's where I think,
some of the
that's
other
why
years, he was balling and putting way better numbers up.
Yeah, you could say that the numbers looked better, but I believe his game. That's why I think there was a lot of people that didn't vote for him as MVP, mainly because they didn't like his game in Houston. But he's a much different type player in Brooklyn. I don't care what they say in Houston. He is. He's a different type of player.
That's why you love him now.
I don't love him. I appreciate his game a lot more.
You just don't hate him anymore?
No, I don't, we'll see.
Hey, was a strong
audio files continues. Barton Hahn, the last topic we have for you today involves the story from the NFL from Deshaun Watson. This is Deshaun Watson story that Bart, it's just every day another headline this time around. So the number of lawsuits against Deshaun Watson right now is 16 currently. And I haven't seen if anything else has been filed yet, but it feels like every single day there's another one. 16 lawsuits. Hmm. But Deshaun Watson's lawyer, Rusty Hardin, had a statement yesterday where he said they have strong evidence showing that one of the lawsuits alleging sexual assault is false and calls to question the legitimacy of the other cases as well. So they are fighting back. Harden also said he believes any allegation that Deshaun forced a woman to commit a sexual act is completely false, end quote. So they are battling back, no question about it. Ryan Smith, our ESPN legal analyst, talked about the timeline in what is going to be a legal process, clearly, for Deshaun Watson as the NFL watches.
It's all civil right now. For civil cases, it can take months or longer. We're talking about, first, there's service of process, which I assume in some of these cases might have already happened. We don't know for sure. Then, typically, Deshaun Watson's side will answer these claims. Then you go to the point where, in many cases, and you might see this in this case, Deshaun Watson's lawyers will ask to have these cases dismissed. We'll see how judges view that. Then you go on the process of discovery. You proceed to trying to establish a jury or otherwise. So these things take a long time. And typically what you might say is, well, maybe it settles. It was pretty clear that Deshaun Watson said he wasn't, at least initially, was not interested in settling this. And now that you have such a large volume, it does seem like settlement is much more unlikely than it was at the beginning of this process. So this is the kind of thing that can take a very long time, months if not long.
And the NFL certainly has to watch, as everybody else in the league continues to watch this as well. NFL is going to do their own investigation, at least they should. And to remind everybody, this is civil. These are civil lawsuits. This is not a criminal case, no charges. Nothing has been opened up yet by Houston police. So, again, that's also something to watch here closely. That's Audio Files. Barton Hahn brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear. More driven. You want to do a little buffet to finish the show? We're not going to have a lot of time, but we can see how many calls we can get in that short amount of time.
Let's do it. I'm fiending some Salisbury steak.
All right. Yeah. Old school Barton Hahn buffet. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's see how many calls we can sneak in before we call it a day. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. College basketball season has reached tournament time. That means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has announced the final ballot. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award nominees. Jalen Suggs is still playing. Gonzaga, can they have the perfect season? Is he a big part of it? There's a guy to watch. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. All right, this is what we're going to do. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we're going to have like one call maybe. We got four people on hold. We got to get as many calls as we can. We're going to try to do this. Don't like just say hello and ask the question or make the point, whatever you want to do. Let's try it that way. All right? I'm not even going to call out your name. I'm just going to say, caller number one, go. Say your name, where you're from, and then ask the question.
Joe from Jupiter.
What up, Joe? What you got for us?
Oh, hey, Bart. First of all, good show. I'll be quick. Patrick Surtain with his workout going so great. Do you think he makes it to pick 10 for my Cowboys? And then, Bart Scott, do you have any memories of your best moment as you faced the Dallas Cowboys? I definitely remember you as a major force in the NFL, being an NFL fan for about 40 years. So anything stands out about facing the Cowboys?
Oh, yeah. The funnest thing about it is the fact that I never lost to the Cowboys. You think about Revis intercepting on Monday Night Football, but also the funniest part was the year in which we played the Cowboys, the year that Jason Garrett went back and Harbaugh became our coach Flacco's rookie year, and that was the last year in the old stadium with the big dome, and we blew it up, and we beat him in the last minutes, and we took all the trash out of the trash cans and dumped it on the field and told him to blow this piece of crap up because Jason Garrett didn't think that the Ravens was a good enough organization for him to leave the Dallas to be an assistant to come holler at us.
All right, Bart. I'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.